Let's welcome our Pastor Andy. Come on up, Andy. Let's give Andy a hand.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning,
Andy. Good, bad, so-so. How many of you, yeah, I'm good this morning. How many of you, yeah, so-so. And how many of you, bad? I mean, it's a recovery group, come on. One person in the front row. Okay, just kind of gauging where folks are at. I am dealing with a bunch of allergies. And so if you see me up here twitching or something like that, it's nothing personal. It's just that my right eye's crawling off one side of my face. I was asking one of the guys, a theological question. Is there no pollen in heaven, or is there just better sinuses? And he said, there's just better medication. So maybe there are better meds in heaven. I found out that the prophet Elijah was, in fact, allergic to juniper trees. You go, yeah, I was looking through the King James. I'm really allergic to juniper. And in 2 Kings, it says, Elijah sat down under a juniper tree and prayed that he might die. Now, some commentators may have a different explanation, but I know it's allergy-related. So, it also says in Revelation, the Lord will wipe away every tear. And it has special meaning for hay fever sufferers. It says every tear, right? So, okay, enough about that. All right, who remembers what book of the Bible we're in?
James.
James, good. And then who remembers what chapter of the book of James we're in?
Four.
That's good. Then who remembers who taught last week?
Dave.
And then the teacher's most painful question, that's Dave, he's right in the back there. Who remembers anything that Dave said last week, and if so, what?
Equals one.
Judge.
Humility.
Humility?
Yeah.
Okay, somebody want to unpack that a little bit? What does humility have to do with anything?
Opposite of pride.
It's the opposite of pride? Okay, we're kind of... Is pride... I feel like I'm pulling teeth a little bit here. What is with pride? I think Dave talked probably about humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I wasn't here last week, so you guys could probably say anything, and I wouldn't. I was, yeah. A lot of our problem, both in recovery, but for everyone, there's no real difference between addicts and alcoholics and everybody else. It's just that addicts and alcoholics tend to do everything large. We kind of do the large version, and other people do the more subtle, refined version. But pride is, how would you define pride? Because we're going to be working on that a little bit today. What is pride?
Me first.
Me first.
Self-centered.
Being
your own God.
Being your own God. It's my will be done.
I'm
better. Last week, maybe Dave talked about that. Boasting and judgmental.
Self-serving.
I'm better than other people. I want to lift myself up. It's all about me and my need. That's kind of pride. And then the opposite would be humility. What's humility about?
Self for others.
For others?
Submission to God's will.
Submission to God's will. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. It's no longer... my will be done, it's now thy will be done.
Very low-key.
Low-key, there's humility, peace. And, you know, big book, self-will run riot. It's all about us, and a lot of it is getting humble. And that involves thy will be done. Lord, my best thinking has gotten me here. My best thinking has gotten my life to be a train wreck. Please, Lord, reveal your will to me, and then by the power of your Spirit, came to believe. What's step two?
Power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity because we're nuts. Sane people don't stick needles in their arms and snort stuff up their nose, and me with, you know, endless marijuana and alcohol. When I played God, when my pride was front and center, I made a mess out of my life. And finally you hit bottom, and one of the recovery guys said to me, when you hit bottom, when you hit rock bottom, you discover the rock is Jesus.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, when you hit rock bottom, you discover the rock is Jesus, And then at that point, it starts to be humble. Lord, I want thy will be done, not my will be done. Okay? Any other thought? This was last week. We're still in last week. We haven't gotten to this week yet. Going once, going twice. All right. Today we're going to look at one aspect of pride that I know nobody here struggles with. Boasting and other bad ideas. Boasting or bragging and other bad ideas as being one way that pride exhibits itself. And boasting particularly about things that you have absolutely no control over. Acting like you have control over them when you really don't. Anybody here ever, boasting, bragging, does anybody have an example of a time when you were just really kind of going off at the mouth about... Kathy does. Okay, go ahead.
We had a baby. She was a girl. She did everything she was supposed to do. And I thought I was a great mother and that, I could probably help other women know how to do that. And then I had our second child.
Yeah.
And he didn't comply.
Yeah.
And it referred back on me again as not being a good mother.
Yeah. So after child number one, it's like, I am the greatest mom, that's ever existed. And then that was the same with ours. Our first one was very easy. And we started to think all these other people are just kind of like, and then we had baby number two, and I confess to you, his nickname was Rat Baby. He was up all, he had colic, it wasn't his fault, but he was just screaming all night long, and it was a very humbling experience. Any other examples of just boasting? Yeah, Dave?
Yeah, I loved basketball, and unfortunately I was a mediocre player. But I used to tell people I made third team All-State in New Jersey.
You used to tell people you made third team All-State in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like a bad country western song. Yeah, Julie? And talk loudly because I can't hear anyway.
Sometimes it's hard to know what you have pride in until it's taken away.
Yeah. Yeah, how so? You got an example on that? Or
I didn't realize how much pride I had in independence until I couldn't drive anymore.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a look about something that you don't have control over, I don't have control over, but sometimes people brag about it and boast about it, and that is the future. Let me hop into what James has to say, boasting about the future. He says, come now, or as what Charles Stanley would say, listen up. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. You who say, look, I'm going to go over to Silicon Valley. I'm going to have a startup company. I'm going to make $1 million. He says, you don't even know what tomorrow's going to hold. I could drop dead right up here today. There could be an 8.0 earthquake before we finish this morning. There could be a terrorist attack. And yet you're sitting here bragging about stuff that you've got no real control over. What are your thoughts on that? Standing up with this is Silicon Valley. You're supposed to have confidence, competence. And a lot of times people express a level of confidence that we're going to find out in a second comes under the category of foolish. You know what?
Yeah, this is a scripture that me and one of my mentors will talk about often. And it's really hard to do. To lean on the Lord and to say, I will do this and this, Lord willing.
Yep.
Lord willing, I will be here and I'll be able to do this and do that.
And we'll get to the Lord willing part a couple slides down the road. which is bringing some of the, this is, we're talking again about humility, we're talking about pride. It isn't bragging about what you're going to do and what you're going to accomplish. He says, you don't even know what's going to happen 2 minutes from now. Who are you to act arrogantly about what, you're playing God. You don't know the future yet. Dwayne?
I don't want to jump the gun, but I think this is all
I don't want to jump the gun, but, okay. go ahead, yeah.
At least one of the important points about this is we don't know how much time we have in this world. So it's really important to do the things that are the most important, not to us, but to God.
Yep.
And using our time in the best possible way.
Yeah, and let kind of segue, I'm going to slip out of James here for just a second. Here's what Jesus has to say about it. He tells a parable. It's called, many commentators call it, the parable of the rich fool. And he, namely Jesus, told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? I'm going to do this. I've got lots of money. I'm going to build a bigger bank account and 401k, and I'm going to relax, and I'm going to... And God says, you fool, you're going to be dead tonight. Somebody's laughing. What do you think about this idea of boasting about the future? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go off and have a nice beach house in Mexico, and I'm just going to have a great life for the next 20 years. My dad retired. He was dead within a year. Retired at age 59. He was dead at 60. Thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to retire. I'm going to have a great retirement. I'm just going to go off, and he's dead. Yeah, Janice?
And the boasting.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you still need to make... Yes. Yes. And we're going to be talking... It's how you make the plans. I think it's all right. It says the prudent foresees the evil and hides himself. It's okay to make plans, but we're going to find that they're tentative and conditional. It's okay. I mean, you're going to plan. You want to start a company. But we're going to find in just a second, it's going to be with, as Dwayne was saying... thy will be done, or Lord willing. I'm going to start a company. I'm going to travel here. I'm going to do this. It's okay to make plans, but recognizing the future is ultimately not under my control. And so it's bringing that humility. I'm making plans with some element of humility, not bragging and boasting, and I'm going to make this happen. I mean, is that sort of, yeah.
A heart.
It's a heart thing. It's where your heart is at. You can make plans for the future. The other side is we're not supposed to be anxious about the future. We're not supposed to be bragging about the future, but we're also not supposed to be anxious about the future and worried about it. So how can I plan for the future without bragging or without fear and be humble as I'm trying to move forward, realizing that he's ultimately the one who's got it under control, not me. Yeah, Julie? Yeah, this space station or whatever they call it.
And it just occurs to me, this whole pride in our plans, pride in our accomplishments, we're kind of ground zero of that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. In Silicon Valley. And it's almost the antithesis of these gigantic corporate meetings, you know, that they have in Las Vegas or they have around here, where it's like, look at what we are done. We are so awesome. World, take note. We will crush all competitors. It seems like that belief, even though it's good for a corporation to have goals, certainly, that's not what we're about.
Yeah, and but trying to find that, you know, I think to Janice's point, how do you have that? I'm planning for the future. I do have a wonder. You know, there are people in this congregation that have wonderful ideas. They've come here with startup companies with wonderful ideas, and how do you pursue that in a godly way, not in some arrogant, boastful, bragging sort of way? Bunch of hands up. Let me get one in the back there. Yeah. So, Tommy?
That scripture right there reminds me of in the big book when a guy of 30, he was 30 years old, and he recognized that he wasn't going to be successful in his business. So he waited until he got 55. And then he went back to drinking.
Yeah.
He was dead in 5 years.
Yep. 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 Let me get a couple here. Phones are ringing. No. Yeah, Bruce. You know,
when I have like big decisions to make, before I would just do whatever I thought was right.
Yeah.
And you know, and then when I started to follow the Lord, I started going, God, what do I do? And I didn't hear any answers. And but I learned that God speaks through other people. And so now I check in with four or five people.
Yeah.
And that's where God speaks to me, is through them. And
yeah. I would say, you know, it says in Proverbs, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And so part of humility is going and asking other people, what do you think? You know, ask somebody like Ed. He'll tell it to you straight. Well, that's a dumb idea. Kathy's laughing because ask other people, am I crazy? Yes.
Say that's a good idea.
He will. He does. Let me have a bunch of hands up, and let me get a few more, and then we're going to move it forward a little bit. Yeah, Zach?
The big thing that's missing here for me is gratitude.
Gratitude.
I had a great year.
Yes.
Look at all this, you know, wealth and crops.
Yeah.
Immediately make plans for more, for taking advantage of this money. First.
Yeah.
There's no, like, tithing.
There's no thank you, Lord, for that. There's no, Lord, you've provided me. Some people... You know, God has blessed your business. You've made a ton of money. And then you go to him and say, Lord, what do I do? Thank you for that. Now, rather than I will do this and I will do this and I will do this, it's Lord, what is your will for this bounty that you've provided me with? Yeah, in the back? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great to have goals and plans, but I know when I do it myself, a lot of times I'm disappointed with those plans and those goals.
Yep.
Like if God doesn't exist, but... If I include God in those plans and those goals, I'll never be disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, and having the humility that God might rearrange those plans and goals that I have, and having the humility to accept that.
Yeah, and God, somebody said, the problem isn't that we dream too big, we dream too small. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or imagine. And sometimes God has a bigger dream for your life than you have. And you just be obedient to him, and even though it may look crazy, like I say, when I was the stoned-out guy lying under a bridge thinking about killing myself, if you would have told me I would have been a pastor, I would have been standing up here teaching a Bible study, I would have told you, what have you been smoking? God can do things if you just follow him day by day, as Bruce was talking about on Friday night, one day at a time. Be obedient to him today, and he'll get you to some place that's more wonderful than you could have ever dreamt of for yourself. God's got bigger dreams for your life than you have for your life. And just be obedient to him in the power of his Spirit. Okay, let me kind of move it forward a little bit. If you weren't feeling bad enough already, okay? He says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while, a time and then vanishes. He said back in chapter 1, you're a flower, you're here for a day, flowers of the field. What's that old hippie song? We are but a moment's sunlight fading in the grass. Moment sunlight fading in the grass. Great, you're alive. I was standing right here yesterday, as were many of you, doing the memorial service for Frank Miller. Yeah, 61 years old. Whether it's 61, 71, 121, in some sense, your life is an eye blink. My life is an eye blink. It is just a mist that appears for a while in this world. Here you are bragging about, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do this. You're not going to be around that long. Here's a news flash. It's not going to be that long before people are at our memorial service. Start to have some humility. You're here for, it says, Job says, faster than a weaver's shuttle are our years. A weaver's weaving cloth. It goes by quickly. I mean, I look in the mirror and I go, how did that happen? Ray Steadman's thing, how can such a handsome guy be stuck in such a strange-looking body? You know, you start to realize how quickly the time goes. You should have some humility when you start. It isn't bragging and boasting. It's like, you know what? I'm just passing through. I think it was C.S. Lewis said, you are not a, most people think that they are a body and that they have a soul. But it's really the other way around. You are a soul and you have a body. And this is our temporary dwelling place, it says in 2 Corinthians. If these earthly tents are destroyed, we have an eternal building in heaven whose builder and maker is God. Part of life is starting to get an eternal perspective. Whatever 61 years, 71 years, 121 years in this world, it's brief. Eternity is forever. The Apostle Paul says, we don't count the present sufferings worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. Lord, I'm going through some stuff now. It's just for a little while. But help me also not to be bragging and boasting, because whatever's happening now is going to be over quickly. Don't act like you're all that. You're going to be dead. The death rate's still 100%. I don't care what kind of diet you're on, what kind of exercise program you're on. The death rate is still 100%. And start living with that humility. I'm only here for a little while, Lord. Help me to be obedient to you before I, like Frank Miller, stepping out of this world into the presence of the Lord. It could happen today for any one of us. Okay? Our thoughts on that, kind of sobering thoughts. But trying to get us humble. Help us to have some humility. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I'm going to be dead pretty soon. Yeah, Kelly?
Well, as you were saying with the last slide regarding the grain, and he was storing up all his treasures here in this world, not thinking of the future, not thinking of death, not thinking of the life after. And so he wasn't preparing for what was the actual important thing, is his life in the future with God in eternity.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've quoted before. Francis Chan said, we shouldn't be as afraid of failure as of succeeding in those things that don't really matter. We should not be as afraid of failure as of succeeding in those things that don't really matter. I succeed, I'm laying up treasures on earth, and all of a sudden, what does it profit a man or a woman if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Kind of thing. All right, see if we can kind of...
I was with Carol last night, George, and I sat with her and had dinner. And most of us know her situation in life right now and what she's going through. And we read the Bible together, and we, you know, did some prayers and such. But her joy was in knowing the Lord and her future with Him. And so the body now, it's not that important, right? Because the treasures of this world are going to be gone.
Yeah, and... We're going to be going in the main service through Philippians. We may go through Philippians here. That's the letter of joy. And joy comes from the Lord. Where's Larry, Mr. Joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Happiness is connected to what happens. Okay? And what happens is up and down. Carol's got pancreatic cancer. They're giving her 3 months to live. If all of your emotions are controlled by your circumstances, by what happens, you're not going to be very happy when you've got pancreatic cancer and 3 months to live. But her deepest emotion is from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So Carol, when I'm talking to her on the phone, tremendous joy, because she is connected to God. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so her emotions are really controlled not so much by the circumstances, but by her relationship with the Lord. And may that be the case for all of us. Okay, so here's the kind of the bottom line. He He said, instead of bragging and boasting and acting like you're all that, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Kind of doesn't mince words there. Let me put a sugar coat. All such boasting is not so good. No, it's evil. It's arrogant. What you should say, what I should say, is I'm going to go out to lunch this afternoon, Lord willing. If it's the Lord's will, I'm going to go out and meet somebody. What do you make of that? Do you live that way? Do I live that way when I'm making my plans? I'm making plans, but with a certain, if it's the Lord's will, I'll do this or that. Or thoughts? Yeah, Theodore?
I don't hear very many people speak like that, like every day, as a normal part of their language.
Yeah. I don't either. You know, the old thing, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. You know, anyway. And I don't think you have to say it every time. You know, I'm going to go out to lunch today, Lord willing. But that should be your heart attitude. Hey, Alan?
The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And when I find myself in arrogance and boasting, I'm not trusting in God for it. It isn't requiring faith. I have trust in my own abilities and myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to make this happen. I'm a can-do kind of guy. I'm going to make this happen. And the Lord's just sitting there shaking his head a lot of times at that. Larry, you're either scratching your head or your hand. Yeah, Janice, go ahead.
It seems to me that it's about holding your plans loosely. It's not that you need to say these exact words.
Yeah.
It's that you hold the plans loosely because you know that the Lord might have something different in mind.
Yes.
And you need to be open to his redirection should he do it. And if you're arrogant and just holding on to that plan as if that's the greatest plan and that's my plan,
yep.
Then we're not going to see him when he tries to say, no, I've got something different for you.
Yeah. You get the tunnel vision going, and this is what God's will is going to look like. I mean, in the main service, when we do the planning thing, at the bottom it always says, I can't remember the exact words, but something like, this plan is subject to change according to the Holy Spirit or something. Eric, do you remember what it says? It's something like that at the bottom, which is, hold on to it. This is, we planned our service. This has happened at 9:02, and this is happening at 9:13. But hold it lightly. The Lord may have some other plan. And then the question is that just words or is that really the truth? Are we really open to the Lord changing Sunday morning? If something comes up in a service, are we willing to just kind of drop it? I think the last time I remember we did that in here was when Rick and Bev Dyer came in and their son had just died the day before. And we basically just said, shh. We're going to kind of rearrange the morning because that's what the Lord's plan is. Sometimes God has a different agenda than we do. Our plan A is God's plan Z and all that. Kathy?
There's a scripture that says, my children know my voice. I know them and they follow me.
Yeah.
So that's been something renewed in my life is to pay attention to his voice. Live my day listening for his
yep.
voice. And then when it changes, I'm along with that.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm talking your day-to-day routine. You're going over to Piazza's or wherever you go, Safeway. I need to get a burrito. And you get the tunnel vision going. And, I've gotten so, I'm getting better. You go over and you say to Regalio, who's making the burrito, hey, how's your life? Anybody's talked to me. How are you doing on a scale of 1 to 10? I always ask people that. It's just, you'd be surprised what people tell you if you're open to the possibility that maybe God has something in mind besides the burrito. And all of a sudden, there was one of the other guys, not Regalio. I said, yeah, I work with addicts and alcoholics and stuff. Oh, my brother's an addict. And I'm giving him my, the business card over there. I'm talking to Karen, the one of the checkers over there, her son's really tangled up and stuff. And she's been coming to R&R sometimes. If you start looking at your life as opportunities in which God wants to make himself known. It's not about God trying to fulfill your plans. And you start living in a whole different way. Ron Ritchie, just show up. Help me to be open to the fact that maybe God's got something else on my trip to Piazza's besides the burrito. You're beating that one into the ground, Andy. Okay. But that sort of sense, you start living differently. You go with plans, but you're holding them loosely and knowing that God might have... I was, flying from North Carolina back to California, and the plane got delayed as we flew into Chicago to get our connecting flight. We miss our connecting flight. Oh, man, we missed our connecting flight. We run through the airport, managed to get the last two seats on some other plane, and I sit down next to a guy. He's over by the window, and I'm in the middle, and Brigitta's on the aisle, and start talking to him. All of a sudden, he wants to know about the Lord. I spent the whole trip from Chicago back to California, back to San Francisco, and you just realize, I thought my plans had fallen apart. I had missed my connecting flight. I am all bent out of shape, and God's going, I needed you to talk to the guy on the other plane. Stop worrying about your plans falling apart. I got something different for you. I want you to witness to that guy sitting by the window there. Okay? Other thoughts on thy will be done, or staying tentative, or realizing he's the one who's large and in charge. He's the one who's got it under control.
Well, I think so many times we already plan on the result of our plan. And so we're making that as a solid place that we're going from and making plans from, instead of...
counting your chickens before they hatch, kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, Thea?
Some of this sounds a little bit like when you buy that lottery ticket and you're sure you're winning the $350 million and all your plans...
Well, you start kind of future tripping. It's like you buy the lottery ticket, and suddenly you've already got a mansion in the hills, and it's yeah.
10 cars.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me get the last point for this morning here. He's going to flip things around a little bit on this verse. He's been talking about stuff you should not be doing. You should not be boasting. You should not be bragging. You should not be acting like you're all that. You should hold on to your plans loosely. And now he's going to make a slightly, it's connected point, but it may seem a little different. He says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So he's been talking about doing wrong things, but now he's talking about not doing right things. They're called sins of omission. Anybody heard that theological? There's sins of commission and sins of omission. Sins of commission are things that you commit. You do things that are wrong. Sins of omission are, there were a whole bunch of good things you could have done and you didn't do them. You omitted. You could have helped that little old lady across the street. You could have given somebody $5. You could have sent somebody a get-well card. You could have called them on the phone, and you didn't. You knew you should have. God kind of tapped you on the shoulder, and you just kind of omitted it. So he said, yeah, there's the bragging, boasting part, but if God's told you to do something, it's also pretty arrogant not to do it and to leave out the good stuff that you know you should be doing. Yeah, Theodore?
Which one do you think is the bigger problem?
Well, I think they're both probably equal problems. I think both of them can actually be pretty sneaky. For example, let's say I can actually do something good, like giving somebody $20, and then I start thinking about it. Wow, I am the most generous person who has just walked the street today. I am just like Mr. Incredible. So sometimes you can do something that's good, and then you start thinking about how wonderful you are, and it morphs into something bad. So it can be real subtle even when you do something good. So I think they're both pretty sneaky. I think it's really pride dressed up in a whole bunch of different ways, and that's what he's trying to get at here. You can be really arrogant not doing good things. You're so self-absorbed. Why did you not do the thing that was you know you should have done.
It seems like this is maybe like the next level. Like first address the stuff that's...
Yeah, well, you know, I'm working with addicts and alcoholics. Stop drinking. Stop sticking a needle in your arm. Let's get kind of what the kind of the glaring things that are going on. Then let's start getting into fearless moral inventory. What's really motivating you? What's really driving you? And that can get pretty subtle. Or what about this idea of not doing things you know you should be doing? This is the sins of omission. You should have been doing that. And Marianne?
For me, I struggle with, because I'm a list maker.
Yeah.
Annually, so make the list, you know. And if I do that, I tend to not be flexible to then change my list of what I'm supposed to be doing that day to be open to, oh, God yep. wants me to go through that door. And so that's why I just really have to pray about, okay, God, what do you want on my list today? And one
right.
of them has to be interruptible.
Yeah. Be open to his change of plans, kind of a Janice's thing. You, Janine? Yep.
I find this, that you're not listening. I'm always asking the Lord, let me be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And when he gives me the opportunity, I'm not listening.
Well,
and I find out later that, oh my, I just wasn't listening. I see your point.
Yeah, and I even go the next step further, which is when I'm listening, Lord, I will do anything for you. Just reveal. And then, oh no, not that. You know, I may have shared them probably. You know, it was when I was a new believer, I was in a church. We'd saved up money for a car, $500. And after church, I was going to go get this Chevy Vega. Bad car. And here's, this should have been the warning thing. The Chevy Vega belonged to my dad's bartender. Okay, so I'm in there in church. I've got the $500, and I'm looking forward to buying the Chevy Vega after church. And I'm praying, and the Lord says, "Give $50 to this church." And the Lord says basically to me, "I want you to give $50 to the church." And I'm going to myself, okay, if I give $50 to the church, I'm not going to have the $500 for the Chevy Vega. I won't be able to buy the Chevy Vega. So I'm conflicted, you know, should I give the $50 to the church or not? I'm hearing it clearly from the Lord. I don't give the $50. It's a sin of omission. It was something I should have done and I omitted it. I buy the Chevy Vega. That night, that very night, the Chevy Vega dies. I go back to the guy, he says, "I've already spent the money, you know, tough luck, you lose." I take the Chevy Vega to the junkyard. I get $50. The Lord is great with numbers, by the way. He's really, really good with numbers. So I won't get too take it too into too much detail, but I go, "Lord, do you still want me to give the $50 to the church?" And basically the Lord said, "Yeah, give the money to the church." Okay, this time I'm going to be obedient. The Lord was trying to protect me from the Chevy Vega. And anyway, we saved up money, went to a car dealer, and made a deal with the salesperson. He says, "Well, I've got to check with my boss about the price." And he comes back, he says, "I can't sell you the car for that price." I said, "Well, yeah, we just agreed on that." He said, "No, it was actually on sale for $500 less than the price we agreed on." So it was the same, the price of the Chevy Vega was $500, the $50, all this kind of stuff. A lot of times, you know, God is protecting you from harm. Partly he wants you to bless other people by not omitting things, but sometimes he's trying to protect you from getting yourself into some trouble. So, yeah, Kelly?
It just really, to me, is so great how he puts things, how God puts things to work. Whoever knows the right thing to do, and then for only for him, it is sin.
Yeah.
It,
yeah.
Because he knows it,
sorry,
that yes. it's sin yeah. for him, but not somebody else. Somebody goes, "Well, you should have gave that $50 to the
church." Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. It's you're praying, you're being open. I need to listen to you. What are you telling me to do? It's not just some legalistic, ritualistic thing. I want to be obedient to you. And when I've heard from you, help me by the power of your Spirit to obey you. Yeah, Zach?
This one for me feels a light. You talked about the struggle, like you know what to do, you don't want to do
yep.
it, you struggle, right? That for me is a sign that I'm about to do this, right? Because it's I know the right thing and then I fail to do it. It's not hard to recognize. Like I'm fighting with myself yep. and then I do the work. Yeah. Like that pattern happens a lot. First thing that comes to mind is my son, right? He does something that annoys me. I can either be patient or I can be annoyed. And then I struggle for about 3 seconds, and then I'm usually annoyed. Right?
Am I going to get annoyed or not annoyed? Yeah, annoyance looks pretty good, yeah.
So that's how I recognize it. Yeah. I struggle for a while,
yeah.
And then I do
it. Well, and I think a lot of times, again, probably last point, we need to get on some other things, but growth opportunities, looking at things where you're struggling. If you're in your comfort zone, you know, getting out of your comfort zone is by definition uncomfortable. But that may be God trying to help you to grow. I'm showing you to do something, and yeah, it is a strain for you not to get annoyed in that situation. Yeah, it is a strain for me in that particular situation. $50 was a big deal because it was a car or no car. And God's saying, I'm trying to get you to grow in your trust of me and your dependence on me. And so many times, looking at the uncomfortable things that God asks you to do, help this person, call that person, he's trying to help you to grow in your faith and your dependence on him. Any kind of last burning desires, thoughts here, Rick?
Yeah, Scripture says that God has a still, small voice. And so we have to train our minds to listen. But Kathy said that earlier.
Yep.
He's learning to listen to that. Hey, if our world is so filled up with activity and noise that we can't hear him. We have to change the way we work. And if our schedule is so full, we don't have time for God. If our media on all the time. Anyway, we have to learn to listen for God's voice.
Yeah,
and then when we hear it, we have to respond.
And in this area, the tyranny of the urgent. This area is so busy. Mad Hatters, I'm late for a very important date. And God's saying, why don't you go spend some time praying? Why don't you go spend some time in my word? Why don't you go spend some time talking to other brothers or sisters who might be able to help you out? And we're all just, no. Anybody ever see the Ben-Hur, the old movie? And there's the galley slaves and they're rowing. And there's the guy... He's boom, 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 and you're supposed to row to the rhythm of the drums, and boom, boom, and we're all at ramming speed in the Silicon Valley. I don't know what we're trying to ram, but we're trying. But it ends up, I'll get around to God some other day. I'm too busy. There's too many urgent things going on right now. I don't have time to listen for God's voice. At some point, you have to be decisive. You have to be intentional and say, you know what? I need to take some time with God. And if the universe falls apart, God's big enough to handle it. But right now, I need to hear from God and shut those other voices out for a while to hear his still small voice telling me what I need to be doing. Hey, Rick, last one. Yeah.
Today, almost all of us are carrying these devices that are demanding our attention
yep.
all the time.
Yep. There's studies. If your phone goes off in your pocket, as mine has done, you get a burst of cortisol. Cortisol is the anxiety drug or chemical. You're sitting there, your phone's going off in your pocket, you're not able to answer it. It creates anxiety, and then when you do answer it, you get dopamine, which is the pleasure chemical. So your cell phones can get you coming and going. They're a great tool, but they can be producing anxiety and then promising to give you a hit of a dopamine. How many likes did I get today on my Facebook thing or something? So we have to be careful not to be dominated by those as well. Let me pray. Lord, I do pray that we would make plans, but we would make them tentatively, realizing that you're the one who's ultimately in control. You are the ultimate authority. Help us to be looking to you, Lord, and help us to be listening for your voice. We are your servants. We're your sons and your daughters, Lord. We want to be about your business. We want to be about our Father's business. And help us, Lord, today to have a sense of encountering you. This is not just coming to church and playing church or something. We want to encounter you. We want to hear from you. And then we want to be obedient to what you're calling each one of us individually to do. Help us to be relying on you, not doing anything in our own strength and ability, but trusting, Lord, that you're going to do glorious things both in and through our lives. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. Good night, everybody.